Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. I hope you all had a blessed Christmas. Yes, a Merry Christmas too, but especially a blessed Christmas. They're not entirely the same thing. Those who got exactly what they wanted for Christmas, family all together, getting along, or perhaps that extra cool gadget. They perhaps had a Merry Christmas, but may not have had a blessed Christmas. Namely, because Christ was not a part of the family gathering. And I don't mean present with nativity scene, happy birthday Jesus, lip service present, but present in deed and in truth. That is, Christ in his word. Others may have had a blessed Christmas, but perhaps not a merry one. They rejoiced at our Savior's birth, received the sacrament, meditated on the Son of God and the Son of David. They were given comfort, peace, joy, and all manner of spiritual gifts. But they perhaps were missing a loved one, maybe away on a business trip, overseas, or in the hospital. Well, I hope and pray that you had both a merry and a blessed Christmas. But one of these, blessed, is far better and essential than the other. Simeon, the old man of our gospel text, had a blessed day when the baby Jesus entered into his presence and the Holy Spirit pointed him out to Simeon. There he is. There's the one you've been waiting for. He received the gift and blessing that he had been promised, that he wouldn't see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And it filled him with great joy, even if perhaps happiness may not have been all the way there, that is to say, knowing that he is about to breathe his last here soon, nevertheless, filled with great blessed joy, for the word and promise of God is being fulfilled before his very eyes. And Simeon's joy went even deeper than merely the joy he felt for himself. He was selfless in this joy, as he knew that Jesus is the fulfillment of the hope of all Israel. Simeon's joy is faith in him, but also in love for the neighbor. He had been waiting for the consolation of Israel, waiting for the comforter and advocate, waiting for he who would join us in our creation as our brother, the one to be on our side, to help us in our every need, to comfort us especially with the forgiveness of our sins, not merely in word and talk, but in deed and in truth. From Genesis to Malachi, those who heard the prophets looked forward to the coming of the Messiah, the Savior of the whole human race. And there he was as a 40-day-old baby. The old eyes of Simeon seeing in those babies' eyes the salvation of all mankind. And Simeon, he didn't just see a mere baby, but he saw there a light. The light of the world, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of his people Israel. As it was said in Isaiah 9 on Christmas Eve, the people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Sin and death is nothing but darkness. The light has come not just for a special select people, but for both Jew and Gentile. The whole world is covered by this gift. Just as the whole world was given death through that first man's trespass, so much more shall the gift of truth abound for all through this one babe, the new man. Simeon, as it is written, was righteous and devout. That is to say, he knew and trusted in the promises of the Old Testament. He knew all of the paths to the Messiah of the Old Testament that were culminating in this child. I got a kind of extended analogy coming up here. Well, first, think about our rains, our needed rain that we had this last week, and how that rain, it's got to go somewhere if it doesn't go in and water the ground itself, planting the seeds that are planted. It's got to flow. So it joins with other streams, then funneled to rivers, and from rivers, they all come together into that Mississippi River, at least here in America at this part. And finally, the Gulf, the ocean. Well, every aspect and theme of the Old Testament, think of it as its own river, every word and promise. Where now in Simeon's arms is that mighty Mississippi River of the Old Testament flowing towards its final destination, the cross and resurrection, that crushing of the head of the serpent. So the promises of the Old Testament, like our American river arteries, let's kind of go up north. This is where geography, your geography teacher said it'll come in handy someday. So start at the north. Follow the Mississippi River through Genesis, moving south, Minnesota, Iowa, Tower of Babel, Noah's Ark, where it's a river, but it's certainly not that big and powerful Mississippi at the bottom. Well, then it joins in the major Missouri River promise that the singular offspring of Abraham, Isaac and Jacob, will be a blessing to all nations. And from there, going south, going through the Old Testament, the promise just grows and grows, and it keeps joining more Old Testament promises. Bigger, better, faster, stronger. The scepter shall not depart from the tribe of Judah. That might be like the Wabash joining the Ohio. The Passover lamb dies instead of the people. The Day of Atonement scapegoat of the Christ would be abandoned and die outside the city. That's the, you might call it the Leviticus River joining with the Deuteronomy River, with the foretold new prophet like Moses, joins with all those prior promises. And then as the Mississippi moves out of Illinois, it joins the Ohio River, and we get our Old Testament reading for today, 2 Samuel 7, there will come a son from David, who shall have a throne that will be established forever. And joining the Mississippi as it flows through Tennessee and Arkansas are all of those little tributaries that just come in from the latter prophets. This Messiah will come from Bethlehem, Micah. From a virgin, Isaiah, shall be called Emmanuel. He will be a shoot from the stump of Jesse. The promises coming together to form that bigger, better, faster, stronger river of hope that then lead to Simeon, where finally, as the Mississippi gets down to Louisiana, where there it's several miles wide in many points, and it carries between 200 and 700,000 cubic feet of water per second, and this Old Testament Mississippi converges here in a baby. In Simeon's arms, every image fulfilled in Jesus, a river of grace and truth now born for us as one of us. And Simeon gets to look right at it. What a blessed day. A day for him to rejoice as you just look at him celebrating his own dying day. I mean, what would you do if you knew precisely the day that you would die as that day began? You knew that someday here, or some point hereafter, some hour hereafter on this day would be my last breath. Would you sing? Simeon sang. Righteous and devout Simeon knew what this day meant for him and for the whole world. That very day he would be even with this very Christ after he took that last breath, after he closed his eyes for the last, that he would be transferred to paradise. He knew that dying with a Savior meant no actual death for him or for anyone who receives such good news with such joy. Finally, it was time. The Messiah, the very Lamb of God, had come. And he was given that privilege to hold him, to behold him, and then finally, depart in peace, to rest in peace. Simeon had seen it, the consolation of Israel. And it's a he, a baby he, to grow up and become the sin offering, purifying the stain of sin that infects us all, who soaks up all of our sin into his flesh and puts all of that sin to death, that our sins would be washed white in the river of the blood of the Lamb. This is such an outpouring of grace. It's proclaimed and given to you, where now you, dear saints, are sons of Simeon. You're able to step into his shoes and make his words your words, that not only Christmas time would be blessed, but every day be blessed. No matter how little or how much merriment those days may have had. Truly, when we behold the Lord in his preached word, when we hold before us the very body and blood of that same divine human that Simeon held, we, like Simeon, can depart in peace at any moment. Whether it's in a moment like that, like Simeon, or after years of chronic pain, when we behold Jesus, we're ready to go at any moment, to depart, to be able to rest in peace. To know that it'll all be fine. As Christians, we're ready for even also our believing loved ones to leave at any moment's notice as well. When the Lord comes to him and says, "Well done, good and faithful servant." For such a departing, even if it means our own loneliness for a time, such departing is not truly a death, but peace from the chaos of this world, for sure. And even now for us who may be even left behind, while we await the final redemption of our bodies, we're no longer enslaved to the fear of death, to the fear of never seeing our loved one yet again. We're no longer in bondage to sin. Instead, we get to behold our Savior, become alive in him who made himself to be like us in every way, except without sin, in order to redeem us, in order to purchase us back from slavery, the ability even to cry out to our Father and to know without any shadow of a doubt that he hears our prayer, and then finally to receive the inheritance of a son. This beautiful song of Simeon, entitled in the church as the Nunc Dimittis, it's based on the opening words of the songs in Latin. We, of course, sing it most often right here after the conclusion of the Lord's Supper. Today, in honor of this reading, we'll switch out the normal one for an alternate paraphrase that's in the back of the hymnal. But nevertheless, we always sing this immediately after the Lord's Supper. Why is that? Because we just did in the Lord's Supper exactly what Simeon did. We beheld the Lord Christ, the very same flesh and blood of Jesus. And this gives us the same peace and joy of Simeon that only God can give through this Savior. And receiving that body and blood seems like such a simple thing that we now then depart into the world, depart to our pew. It seems like a simple thing, so that when you get to your very last day, that going into the grave is as simple of a thing as coming to the altar. That going into the grave with Christ, you shall surely be raised from the grave with Christ. Where there, that's what it means to truly be blessed, to have an eternity of blessed days, always, forever, even if here on earth we have our gloomy Christmases, our gloomy days, are undercut by the joy we have in Christ. In Jesus, dear saints, you are truly blessed. Amen. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.